This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, today at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and so much going on, it's complete insanity. But I run into a guy, Don Butler, who's he's at Ford Motor Company, and it's like Ford Motor Company, yes, has a huge presence here at the Consumer Electronics Show. And they're going to have a big presence at the Detroit Auto Show. Not many of the automakers are going to be there, but Ford will be there. It's Motor City, for goodness sakes. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing great, Alan. How are you? Good to see
you
again.
So what are you doing here, man?
Yeah, so I lead all of the connected vehicle activities for Ford, and we're here at CES. Actually, Ford's been at CES. It was the first automotive OEM to come to CES more than a decade ago, and
it's
now
like you guys
see,
got keynote, I think,
Yeah, we've had a couple of keynotes.
Yeah, right.
And now you see everybody else here as well, and it's just, it's because, you know, every company now is really a technology company.
Right.
In the sense of, you know, the software that you need to develop, the services that you need to deliver, and technology is key to what we do. And so for Ford, it just makes sense that we're here. And what we're excited about is we announced yesterday that starting in calendar year 2022, all of our vehicles are going to be equipped with something that we called cellular vehicle-to-everything technology.
V to E or V to X?
V to X.
That's what they're called.
Yeah, so like vehicle to other vehicles, vehicle to infrastructure, pedestrians. And what we're talking about is vehicles communicating directly with each other. Today, the way that, you know, connectivity works in the vehicle, there's a modem, a data modem in the vehicle. You got to go to the cell tower and then go back to the operator of the network and then get delivered to either our back end or to another vehicle. So you got to go through the network, right? So this new technology is direct. So your vehicle can talk directly to my vehicle.
What happens if that vehicle gets grounded for a week and sitting, you know, you can't be talking to that vehicle. I told you don't be talking to that Dodge over there.
We'll have to manage the conversations, but I think we can do that. I think we can do that. And it really is all around a safety benefit, right? I mean, we can all imagine scenarios where you're driving behind somebody and either they suddenly slam on their brakes because there's a stopped car in front of them, or the vehicle swerves out of the way and then you're stuck with looking at, oh my goodness, I hope my brakes work
reaction
in time. And so what we're talking about here is that vehicle that stopped can communicate its situation well before you encounter that situation, right? Hundreds of meters away. And so for us, CV2X is the next natural extension of connectivity and all the benefits that come with connectivity. And no better place to talk about it than here at CES.
CV2X.
Cellular Vehicle to Everything technology. The X stands for everything. And cellular is actually a bit of a misnomer because cellular comes from the cell towers, right? For normal mobile communication. And we're leveraging the technology, but again, it's direct. And so it's literally your car talking to another car or your car talking to you, Alan, because you're carrying a smartphone and it's based on cellular technology. So let's say you're crossing a street, dark intersection, car's headlights don't light you up, but you're crossing. Hey, with CV2X, your smartphone would communicate to the vehicle, hey, there's somebody here you need to be careful of.
What is the most exciting thing for you that you're seeing happening? Is it this?
I consider this to be part of our mantra of just making a better world, right? Just the foundational kinds of things to keep our vehicles and keep our customers, most importantly, safe. For me, what I'm most excited about is kind of what's going on here, which is this whole sort of merging of the tech world and the automotive world, right? Google and Apple and Amazon and everybody. Everybody wants to be in the vehicle, right? And for some, they may say, well, as an OEM, are you worried about that? I mean, are you concerned? I'm like, it's exciting that you know, others want to be in the vehicle environment. Now, our challenge is, how do we manage and control that so that our customers get the best experiences?
Yeah.
And so for us, that means not picking a winner, not saying, hey, we're just going to go with Apple or Google or Amazon. We're partners. We're great partners with all of them.
You know what? That makes me so happy, I got to say, because for so long, it was that way. Like, I mean, looking at you guys with GM right now, working with this 10-speed transmission.
Yes.
Good for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And if you just picked Apple, then everybody else on the other side is screwed, or vice versa. It's like you got to have kind of open borders, and that's a bad thing to say with our border situation. But you know what I'm saying? In this world,
no, I know.
There's a better way of saying it. I just
don't have. So what you mean is like open platform, right?
That's
exactly what we're talking about. And it's exciting, though, because we're delivering these great new experiences inside the vehicle. And so, for instance, you can access Siri and access Alexa from inside the vehicle. And so all of a sudden, a customer doesn't have to say, because I'm in my vehicle, I miss out on all the things that I could be doing or that I want to do. And now we're enabling that. And it's just going to get better and better and better as we go forward. So really, what's exciting for me, this merging of technology, but again, doing it in a way that satisfies and excites our customers.
It's good stuff. Executive Director, Connected Vehicles and Services, Ford Motor Company, Don Butler. You know what it is time for?
What's it time for?
Time for you to beat it, buddy. Play a little Michael Jackson, beat it. Well, listen, thank you for coming over and talking to us. I know you had to come a long way.
Always good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
All
Ford's
right.
doing a great, great job.
Thanks, man.
I happen to be a big fan of Ford. I'm going to be buying a new Mustang Shelby GT500. Get on weight! We'll take a little break. It is The Drive. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, hey, everybody, I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive today at the Consumer Electronics Show 2019. We're here on the show floor, and boy, we're going to have probably, I don't know, a couple of shows at least talking about what's going on in the technology world. Giles Reese-Jones joining us from What Three Words. To me, I met you, 2 years ago?
2 years ago in L.A., yeah.
At the L.A. Auto Show, and I think that, you know, this could be something that will change our world. And I'm going to let you explain what Three Words is, because you're going to do a better job than me, that's for sure.
Thanks very much. So What Three Words is just a very simple way to talk about location. We have divided the world up into 57 trillion 10-foot by 10-foot squares.
All right, I got to write that down. That's just 57.
There's a lot of zeros. There's a lot of zeros. And we've given each one of those squares a three-word address. So three dictionary words like table, chair, lamp to describe any 10-foot by 10-foot square in the world.
So in other words, if you are standing in a spot and you say to somebody, hey, my car broke down out here in the desert and, you know, my cell phone's working, I don't know how to tell you where the hell I am, but I can drop a pin, and if you download the app What Three Words, you can find out within 10 feet where I'm standing.
Exactly that.
Because it becomes an address.
Yeah, exactly that. It's a global addressing system. So what we do is we convert GPS coordinates, lat long, which are incredibly accurate. They cover the entire world, but they're really difficult to use. So if you're standing there in the desert and you say I'm at
latitude and longitude,
18.14783, it's just the opportunities to make a mistake and then go to the wrong place are huge. So we're a user-friendly version of GPS.
How do you do this? I mean, it's obviously not an easy task to cover the world with 10-foot squares.
Yeah. We've got a mathematical genius on the team who has put the system together. We have a word list of 40,000 words, and 40,000 times 40,000 times 40,000 gives you 64 trillion. So that gives you enough to cover the world. But we've also done it in multiple languages. So we've just released Chinese. So we've got 27 languages. You can talk about the entire planet with just three words.
What was the genesis of this product?
Right.
Was it because of these remote places that people find themselves building a grass hut and wanting to receive mail?
It was actually music.
UPS?
It was actually music events. So Chris, the co-founder, used to organize live music events around the world. So big entertainment complexes or villas in hillsides in Rome. And he constantly was frustrated because people couldn't find them. Street addressing, as you probably know, is not particularly accurate and it doesn't cover everywhere. So he thought that there must be a better solution out there and came up with it. Now, since we met in LA, that was when we first started talking to car companies. Now, this solution solves a really big problem for car companies and mobility companies. Because if I get in my car and I say, hey, take me to Church Road, it says there's 14 different church roads within a 10-mile radius of where you are.
Right.
At which point you start swearing at the sat-nav, pressing buttons. It's just a really frustrating experience.
Yeah.
And we've just been built into Mercedes-Benz vehicles.
Wow.
So you can now get into an A-Class. You can say, hey, Mercedes, take me too. And currently we are sitting at Renew Blitz Cake. And the Mercedes knows exactly
so
where you want to go.
So if you own a Mercedes, a brand new one,
yep.
Renew Blitz Cake, and you would find us.
You would arrive here. So we've been built into the A-Class, the B-Class, the new electric vehicle, and also their commercial vehicles. Because if you're a delivery person, and I can save you a couple of hundred yards every delivery, that is a significant business efficiency.
That's huge.
So we're being used in mobility, ride-hailing apps, and now we're starting to be used by the British police for emergency responders.
Where is the home of what three words?
Phil's Count Soap, which is the 3 meter square just outside our head office in Bayswater in London.
So the new addressing will be three words. The question is, what three words? Can you pick your three words?
No, it's all pre-allocated and fixed.
Because otherwise, it's computer-generated, what you're saying.
Yeah, so it's an algorithm randomly allocates them. And the whole system works offline. So you don't need a data connection. It works wherever you are in the world, as long as you've got a GPS connection.
I know, because I wanted to get extremely handsome man for my address.
Yeah, I think that's in Idaho. we'll have to go and find that. We should go on a trip in one of your beautiful cars to find these places.
I love it. You guys, I've been talking about this ever since the first time I saw it. What3words.com?
Yes, exactly.
What3words.com. You can download the app, try it. It is fantastic. Congratulations to Mercedes-Benz for having the wherewithal to see this can change the world. Giles Rees-Jones, you're the best, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your support.
We're going to be doing more with you. I know. We've got some plans going to work up and have some fun. All right, from the Consumer Electronics Show, actually now they call it the Consumer Technology Association, which puts on the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive, What Three Words. We'll be right back. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Once again, from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. Joining us right now is Mike Beaker. He is from LoomCube, and so many people are doing these, podcasts and just like us right now. Now, we have big lighting and everything, but for the average person, they can't have television quality lighting. And even when you have television quality lighting, if you're not really good at it, you may not be putting it in the right spot anyway. You may be over-lighting yourself, under-lighting. But they make a product, and it is called the LoomCube, right?
The Air VC.
Okay, so LoomCube is the company.
Right, and this is the LoomCube Air VC.
Because I'm holding in my hand a little device that is about, I guess, as big as a GoPro, because most people know what a GoPro is. It looks like about an inch and a half by an inch and a half, something to that effect, a little square.
The GoPro was actually the impetus of the product 4 years ago.
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn it on for those watching the video, because the difference is that all of a sudden I have now light, and it has got a little suction cup. It's on one of these, what do they call these little mounts?
Sure.
What do they call it?
A quarter 20 mount.
All right. So it's the same thing you mount a GoPro with, basically,
sure.
Right? The difference is if I'm doing even a conference call, a Zoom conference call or something, I am now lighting my face instead of sitting back in the dark, and it looks like it has, three different brightnesses?
It has four different brightnesses.
Four? Oh, my gosh. I mean, that thing is bright. What kind of light actually is it?
It's an LED, and the technology, the challenge in building this light was how do you put 1,000 lumens in a tiny little package and keeping it from melting the package itself.
Right, because and it's got a little cover over it. I mean, this thing is crazy bright.
Yeah, the cover is it's kind of a unique invention in that you typically see something like that as a diffuser. It smooths out light so you don't have any hot spots.
Right, right.
But there's another technique that photographers will use, and they use gels to modify light.
Right.
And in this particular
case, when he talks about a gel, it literally is a transparent piece of paper, you might say, with different colors. They're called gels. Otherwise, a person might think you put jelly on the lens or something.
Right. Like if you wanted to change the color of the light to red or green. And in our particular case, what we're trying to do here is lower the Kelvin temperature. And a lower Kelvin temperature will give you a much warmer skin tone.
By the way, there's a little shadow on your face. Hold on. Let me just get you lit up a little better. There you go.
Yeah. So the great thing about this warming diffuser is that it makes everyone look like they just got back from vacation.
Right, right. Because it's a warm light instead of a bright white light or blue. It kind of looks blue.
Right.
This is an amazing little device. I think for those that are into doing podcasts and
vlogging,
whatever it might be, is there another type of a mount that you can use it on different cameras and things as well? I imagine this looks very versatile.
So there's several ways that you can use the AirBC. Like I said, it has a quarter 20 mount in the bottom that allows you a quarter 20 is kind of a standard mount within the photography, videography industry. So any tripod that has a quarter 20, it'll mount to. It also, this is a magnet on the back, so it will magnetically attach to anything.
Okay. Nice. So here's the reason why, when we're talking about on a car show, why are we talking about lighting? We're at the Consumer Electronics Show. Many, many people that are into cars, and car enthusiasts in particular, want to do something while they're driving. You know, maybe talking about the car. And as a journalist, an automotive journalist in particular, I'm going to be doing that a lot more with the new TV show I'm going to be doing. So this kind of a product, for me, at what price point, is going to be a very important part of my,
gear. This is the kit that it comes in. Okay. This includes a standard diffuser, a warming diffuser, suction cup mount, and the 1,000 lumen light adjustable at four levels. And that entire package is $79.
Yeah, it's, I think, a valuable part of your gear. And it's tiny, tiny little thing. If you're going to be doing videos, and also, listen, if you break down with that little magnet, you can pop the hood, stick it to the hood underneath the hood, and now you got nice light.
Or if you're grilling at night and you need a light on your grill, you
can even... You're going to have the coolest freaking flashlight in the world, but that's really not the design of it.
Yeah.
Where can people buy these, by the way?
These are available right now at LoomCube.com.
Okay.
And on January 15th, we're going to be making a major announcement with a global retail partner where this product will be available in over 65 countries and in over 600 retail stores.
Well, it's absolutely brilliant. I think that we're going to have to probably buy a handful of these from you, because I can see that, you know, we pack a lot of lighting, as you can see for here what we're doing. And our lights are great and everything. Not that this would replace that, but
you see here at the store is a lot. Everything's going mobile. You know, everyone wants to be able to broadcast or take photos and video on the go. And while this type of lighting that we're using today is feasible in a studio setting, for on the go, being able to provide top quality lighting and to modify it is essential, and this makes it possible.
All right, well, there you go. Loom, L-U-M-E, cube.com, loomcube.com. $79
for the whole kit.
I'm going to have a few of these in my backpack, because as I go out into the world, and especially with the cars that I get to drive, this is going to make it look a whole lot better. All right, Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mike Beaker. The Consumer Electronics Show, put on by the Consumer Technology Association. Amazing, the cool things that are coming out here. We're going to try and bring all of them to you as we can. There's so many things. I mean, hundreds of thousands of products out here. But we're going to bring the ones that maybe you're going to work in your automotive world. I'm Alan Taylor for The Drive. We'll be right back.
Miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at thedrivewithalantaylor.com.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're at the Consumer Electronics Show today, Las Vegas. This is probably the biggest trade show they have here, I have to assume. Rick Stella is joining us. And Rick is the adventure editor for trucks.com. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the show, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm having to engineer the show, so for those watching, if you see me looking down, I'm actually doing extra work.
I can see you're doing a lot over here.
What's going on?
I'm just sitting here holding a microphone in my hand. I feel like I'm doing nothing.
You know what? I'm like still old school. I actually like engineering my own show.
Sure. Yeah.
I like the gear of it. I like hooking it up. Right. I like doing stuff.
The process of it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have people doing everything for you, but at some point, you become just kind of fat and lazy. So I like staying involved. I like having a manual transmission.
Sure.
But I like automatic transmission.
Yeah.
But I still love the gears and the whole mechanics of it all. So anyway.
Yeah. No, I like it.
So here we are at the Consumer Electronics Show. Mm-hmm. You're a young, adventurous guy. You and I met. You. Let's see. Where did we meet recently? We were somewhere. Where the heck was it?
A couple places. I mean, we were in San Diego, right?
Yeah, Ranger.
Yeah,
the new Ranger from Ford.
We were doing, we did RAV4 as well, too.
And RAV4. But, you know, you're the outdoorsy kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So here at the Consumer Electronics Show, it's interesting how the world of electronics and the world of technology, I mean, even Miracle-Gro is here with some new thing where they're growing plants now with lights, and it's like, wait a minute, you're a fertilizer company.
Yeah, right.
You know, but no, everybody is into the consumer electronics side of things.
Yep.
So what was exciting to you, starting with the one thing that keeps bubbling to the top?
Yeah, I've been here for a few years under different positions, but have noticed, like you said, very random companies will be here sometimes just touting the latest of their tech stuff. But the thing I've been seeing this year, especially for what I'm looking for adventure stuff, is this company, What Three Words?
Yeah, they were first on the show.
Yeah, right? And they were great. I saw them at CES Unveiled a couple nights ago. I saw them at Pepcom again last night. And I like the way that they have sort of revolutionized the global addressing system, right?
What do you say, 57 trillion?
Trillion with a T.
10-foot squares.
Yep.
It's like taking a fishing net and netting the earth.
Exactly.
And all those little squares, each one of them has a three-word address, you might say. It becomes the address of your house or your spot, your 10-foot square.
This stage we're on right now will have its own unique three-word.
He gave me the name.
Yeah, nice.
So, I mean, this is pure brilliance. Now, here's the funny part. I met this guy 2 years ago at the LA Auto Show at Mobility, right? And it took 2 years for a car company to finally say yes. So Mercedes-Benz is working with them.
Yep, I heard that.
I cannot believe that every one of the automakers isn't embracing this going, hell yes.
Right.
Right? It's like the old navigation thing is, you know, part of the past now because I can tell you where you're standing.
Immediately, right? And you can go meet that person right there. And that's why the reason I like it so much is that if for backpackers or backcountry skiers or snowboarders or say you're taking off on a hike from two different locations with a friend of yours, I'm going to be at.
Right.
You give them the three word and they can meet you exactly right there. You can set up camp. Instead of either dropping a pin, which can be inaccurate sometimes, or relying on even, you know, GPS coordinates, which can be inaccurate.
And here's the deal. I said to him, so he shows me this video. He says, we were like riding yaks out of the middle of nowhere.
Right, yeah.
You know? And I said, so can you drop breadcrumbs? Have you heard of that before? Little Red Riding Hood, right? So I think that's who it was. Was it
Hansel and Gretel.
Hansel and Gretel, thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is that, yes, you can, so that you can also take the same trail that the other person took. So you're an outdoor adventure guy?
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, so you're going to have a list of just the three words, like on like a page. Someone's going to look at it and be like, what are you reading?
Well, no, I think there's got to be, you know, I mean, and it's going to continue to evolve. But look, when we go off-roading, there's an upper trail and a lower trail.
Exactly.
Don't take the lower trail. It's like it's crumbling away. You could flip over the side of the edge.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's you can either do that or you can say, follow my breadcrumbs. Don't go off of it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. This morning I was watching a bunch of Jeeps all flipping over. Happens all the time.
Sure.
And you do not want to flip over where a tow truck cannot get you.
Right.
Or anybody can get you. Because, you know, first of all, you could get hurt, break an arm, break a leg, break a foot, a hand. And now you're like, you're screwed.
Yep.
So to me, this is brilliance, especially for you outdoorsy types.
It really is. I mean, I like it for so many applications, you know. And just even the disaster relief stuff, too.
Yeah,
you can get places that
Totally.
You wouldn't even normally get.
So what else then, Mr. Adventure Boy?
Yeah, so adventures. You know, I know the first day of the show is actually today, so I'm going to get some time to walk around the floor a little bit and just kind of see what else there is out there. I mean, one of the other things that we're seeing a lot of is maybe it's not so much adventure, but I mean, every auto company and car company is touting this mobility thing, and they have for years, right? And CES is becoming such a big auto show.
What does mobility mean to you?
I think what I've seen so far is a lot of it is just being able to basically transform from people driving their own cars to having a little bit of limited autonomy from their cars or automatic driving, what have you, and being able to create solutions for people that might not be able to get around as well as everyone else, right?
So we saw companies... That's how they're using it, right?
Right. Whether that is autonomous cars to... You kind of help people commute to and from work or helping people who can't move as well to get around the city.
Sure.
I know it has a very broad application. Everyone's just kind of using that as a buzzword right now to kind of get that out because everybody's talking about mobility. But I think you're going to start to see, especially at this show as well too, how the automakers will define it specifically for themselves and what it is that they're coming out with both technology-wise, hardware-wise for their cars and what that's going to mean to them.
So. All right, so when you were in these, because what happens is as media, we get to go to certain you know, events that is media only. We get to try out products a little more. And this is actually a closed event. You know what? Listen, your picture is on your badge.
Yep.
So you just can't get in here. And if you lose that badge, you know what it costs?
$300 Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like, this is a closed event, not open to the public. And, but even they have one deeper than that, which is full-time media only, so you know, not just the people that are doing this for fun, and some of bloggers. There's a lot of people that have a full-time job, but then they're also gear geeks, right? And they're working in the hotel during the day, and they're gear geeking at night. But it's like this thing that we went to the other night, what was called Pepcom. You can't just get in if you're just anybody. But they feed us. They really they pamper us because they really want us to spend a lot of time there. It was like 4 hours. And I walked
there
around
so long
there.
Last night,
dude. I mean, I walked out of there feeling sick. I ate too many bad combination of food, bad gas afterwards. That's all another story. Point is, was there anything else that you walked out of there going, I want one of those? Not even a matter if it's in the auto world or not.
Oh, sure. I liked some of the, like some of the workout equipment they had there. There was, I don't know if you saw the boxing.
No,
there was
I saw the breast pumps.
Yeah, the Willow breast pumps from there, right?
I know. My daughter's just had a baby, and
a unique way for wearables.
Take a picture of it.
Right. I know. And I've actually seen Willow here for the last couple of years at CES. I know they're doing really great stuff.
Look at you looking
at the
breast pumps. I get it.
Hey, I had to cover tech. You know, you're covering everything. There was a boxing application where there was the boxing bag, like the punching bag, and then they put sensors in the gloves, and it would track your hit power, and you could do workouts.
Wow,
so sort of like an on-demand workout thing,
Wearables,
yeah. And so you would go, and you can compete against sort of people all over the globe, like basically like how many punches you can do in 2 minutes, or you can even take classes as well, too. So that was like kind of a cool thing to see over there as well. And then, I mean, yeah, there's so much random stuff, right, if you're walking around Pepcom or even CS Unveiled the other night that it's like your head can spin, you know?
No question. I'm impressed, though, that you were into the boxing gear.
Yeah, I like it.
You're an outdoorsy-looking adventure man.
I can't just be hiking and biking all the time. I got to do some stuff when I'm not on the job, right? it was great. It's been a good show so far. I'm excited to see what else is around. Obviously, it's buzzing here today.
Well, first day. We're going to be here for a couple of days. Yep. Rick Stella, adventure editor, trucks.com.
Yep.
You can go see his story, I'm sure, on the new Ranger.
Yeah.
What's the last one you
Ranger.
Put up?
We did the G-Wagon, Mazda CX-5.
Oh, that's, we were together on the G-Wagon, too, yeah.
Mazda CX-5.
Okay, you went to Whistler?
Whistler and did that
that's
drive.
That's where we saw you
there? Yep, saw you there as well.
Man, I've been seeing you all over the place. All right, well, good. Matter of fact, we'll have to have you back and talk about the Mazda. We were supposed to do that.
Yes, I know.
All right, well, you'll hear him on our show every now and then. Yeah, I like this guy. Rick Stella is his name. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive from CES. Thanks, Rick.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll
good
be right back.
You.
I broke 1,000 hearts before I met you.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us from CES 2019. I know. 2019, what's going on? Sarah Brown is joining us. Sarah is the Senior Manager of Event Communications here at the Consumer Technology Association, CES.
Thanks so much for having
me. Thanks for being here. Thanks for having us. What are you kidding me? Look at the location, right?
It's pretty perfect.
Location, location. We got a nice kind of a high point. We can see over the world. So, Sarah, this is a car show. There's a lot of car companies here. As a matter of fact, next week, the Detroit Auto Show would normally be going on in its normal fashion, but it's like, man, it's been chopped down and it's like on its knees. It's moving its date because to compete with the Consumer Electronics Show where there's the convergence, I know that's kind of an old word at this point for many of us, but the convergence of consumer electronics into the automobile, you guys have taken over. So all of a sudden, Motor City is having to bend and move to June for the auto show.
So I think the auto show fits a different purpose than this show. I think here at CES, you'll see a lot of the futuristic cars. Obviously, a lot of people are talking about the Hyundai's walking car, for example. And in Detroit, you'll really see what's coming to market. So I think there's definitely room for both. And I think, you know, maybe if Detroit moves their show earlier, it'll be less cold and people will be more happy to be there.
That's the one thing that is an absolute.
You know, the biggest benefit, right?
It's like, I know there's going to be a big snowstorm. We're already going, what? You know, yep. That's normal though. So what is the kind of the big thing that's happening here right now? I mean, it seems like there's so many, I wouldn't even know where to start. Maybe you can help.
Yeah, so there's a lot of big things going on with automotive, as you know very well. Obviously, self-driving, as that sort of evolves from its infancy to we're really seeing these technologies make a big difference as it relates to being fully autonomous,
right.
You'll really start to see the automobile serve a lot more different purposes. So when people aren't actually driving their cars, we're going to see car companies realize that they have to do a lot more in the cars because people will be idle and they'll be able to do their hair and makeup potentially. And they're doing it now.
What are you kidding?
safely do their hair and
there
makeup.
You go.
How's that?
Right.
And they'll be able to watch their favorite TV shows. So you'll see car companies realize that they need to integrate with Netflix. And, you know, if you pause a show in your living room, there will be when you get in your car to your morning commute. So I think that's one of the most exciting things for me as a morning commuter myself.
What do you think about this vehicle-to-everything communication? I mean, that's where it's all going. I mean, vehicle-to-vehicle is important.
Mm-hmm.
I think, vehicle-to-buildings. And, I mean, it's like so much going on right there. Maybe you could touch on that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when you're driving a car, you have to be able to communicate with other cars, but you have to be able to communicate with the roads themselves and know that a stop sign means stop and a stop light means stop and a pedestrian definitely means
stop. The car needs to know that. Yeah,
exactly, right. The car needs to know that. And I think us as humans need to figure out how to engage with the self-driving vehicles as well. So, I mean, we're not there yet, but I know that there's so much potential for it to really drastically reduce the number of deaths each year.
We've been talking about this for a number of years now, and it's this time of year when we start talking about it again, and it'll continue to be the conversation until it becomes reality, because you were kind of speaking it into reality by the fact that we keep talking about all this. And the vehicle-to-vehicle, very, very important, because if the vehicle ahead of you is hitting its brakes, it can send a signal back saying, I'm hitting my brakes because there's somebody, you know, a kid's jumping out in front of me or something's happening. So then the vehicle behind can react faster. And you don't have these chain reaction things. The other thing is you're going around a building and the vehicle that you cannot see that's on the other side of the building is coming up and it's maybe going too fast. Your vehicle can see that that vehicle cannot stop in time. It may end up running the stop sign. Old technology still kind of not doing its thing.
Yeah.
But the cars are going to be outfitted with the ability to communicate with each other, and they're going to start thinking for each other a little bit. And I think this is going to be, like you said, a way of saving lives.
Absolutely. And what we're seeing even now is even as people are buying, you know, according to our forecasts, you know, slightly fewer cars, what we're seeing is that when they do buy cars, they are opting for those features that, you know, are park assist and, you know, driver lane assistance and all of that.
Right.
So, you know, while there is some research out there that there people are a little bit hesitant, you know, those are the cars that are selling.
Anything, you know, that we can tell the world about the Consumer Electronics Association technology and everything? It's like you want to leave one last word?
So this Consumer Electronics Show, this CES, is going to be the largest. It's the most influential tech event in the world. It's just started today. There's so much to see. Follow along with our hashtag.
Which is?
Hashtag CES2019.
Oh, it's easy.
Very easy. And on CES.tech. What you'll really see here this year is that every company is a tech company. I know everyone is now used to seeing the automotive industry here at CES, but now you'll see, you know, every industry has to adopt technology to survive. So that's the main theme this year.
Sarah Brown, Senior Manager, Event Communications for CES, where we're sitting right here. Thank you for this space.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're going to be back with more right here at the Consumer Electronics Show 2019.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, joining me right now is my buddy Mike Caudill. You'll see him on Fox and Friends, on television, showing cars. You'll see him on Fox specials for the auto shows and what have you. And now here he is. I guess you were on the news, Fox and Friends?
I am.
From the Consumer Electronics Show.
It's the first time being here live this morning, doing a little bit of Fox and Friends coverage covering automotive. CES is now the automotive hub, so that's why I'm here.
And you're going to the Detroit Auto Show next.
I'm flying out Thursday.
I'm going to Barrett-Jackson, man.
You're smart.
I just feel like they're moving. We were just talking about this with the Consumer Electronics Show communications gal, Sarah. I think that CES has literally broken Detroit in this way.
It has.
She made a good point. She was very political. She says, you know, these auto shows are really to show what's coming out to the public right now. And they do a few concept unveilings. But this is the future. This is the future. And you're going to see a lot of super concept stuff, right?
Right.
But this is exciting. And this is the future where that is like going and seeing what's kind of available right now. And it's, you know, it's just kind of ho-hum a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think Detroit was smart to move it to June. It's more a regional thing anyway, but it was really a gigantic media event for so many years.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I don't know, hardly anybody that's going to the Detroit Auto Show. Yeah. North American International Auto Show.
That's right. You have to divide up into two different conversations, right? So if you look at Detroit as a whole, which used to be the number one auto show in the world, automakers aren't going, and they're not going for a couple different reasons. One, there's a shakeup in the industry when we're talking about modern technology, but the reality is luxury car makers are not selling cars in Detroit. Rolls-Royce, Bentley, Lamborghini,
Porsche,
Ferrari,
yeah,
Maserati,
right,
Porsche. So yeah. Why go if you're not going to sell cars there? You're just
because it is a regional thing, right?
They're going to put them static on the floor. So that's why New York and LA become bigger car shows. But now we're talking about this evolution of the industry as a whole, and that's why CES is amazing, because we're talking about augmented reality. We're talking about autonomous. We're talking about electrification with those two things. And so when you add all of that together, it makes more sense to be at CES.
And AI.
It's
which
amazing.
Is the weirdest thing, this whole learning of computers learning. I think, though, that this event, this Consumer Electronics Show, is exciting for so many reasons, because you can come here and geek out over everything. Everything, from your car to your in-home products to your TVs to your home and smart this and that, and then even the future of things to come, you know, with like AI and all those things you just described, and I can't even remember half the names of them.
Yeah,
you know?
Bell is debuting the Nexus. And Bell used to be formerly Bell Helicopters, and now Bell is building the first flying taxi. Now, it's a fight between them and Toyota to see who's going to bring it to market first. This thing's amazing. It seats five. It's 600 pounds. It's got four turbofoil engines that whisk this thing into the air, and they're partnered
with
Uber.
It's a giant drone.
They're partnered with Uber, though.
Right,
and so they've got this goal to get this in market. There are 19 companies in the world are working to get flying cars into the marketplace.
Yeah.
So you're right. Headphones, stereos, drones, cars, it's all
flying
here.
Flying cars, right?
Flying cars.
And then there are are the auto companies that are coming to the market, like Byton.
Yeah.
Byton is perhaps a Tesla competitor.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, man, that looks very viable.
Yeah, Byton and Rivian.
And Rivian. Rivian, too, right?
You got these two companies.
I didn't go to the Rivian. What did Rivian do? Did you go to it?
They're still showcasing stuff coming out of the LA
Auto Show.
It's the same thing, just opening up new audiences and talking more about the technology as opposed to the automotive.
This tech audience here is very influential.
Very influential.
I don't know. This is probably what the biggest trade show in the world of its kind, I have to imagine. And there's a lot of media here, I'm telling you. And who is media? What is media anymore these days? You can have a following of 100,000 and have a day job where you're working in a hotel and coming home at night, and you are now a, you know, media person because you are a geek, a gearhead of some sort, and people follow you. I have a friend, he calls me the other day. He's an artist, but he loves BMWs. So he's got this BMW following, and I go, hey, how big is your audience? And I thought maybe you'd have 4,000 or 5,000. He's got 45,000.
Yeah.
I'm like, 45,000?
Yeah.
That's an audience.
Yeah, yeah. I will tell your listeners this. Go watch the new movie Wreck-It Ralph, Ralph Killed the Internet. I went and watched this last weekend with my kids, and it explains everything about CES in an hour and 20 minutes,
about followers
and YouTube. Every company that is here that is of big nature, from Google on to Netflix, were in that movie.
I love it. I love it. Well, Mike Caudill, what is your handle? Where do people find you?
Twitter is easy. Mike_Caudill on Twitter. And then Facebook, you just Google my name, Michael Caudill, C-A-U-D-I-L-L, and there it is.
And you can watch him on Fox and Friends. He's their automotive transportation expert.
Fox transportation expert is a sassy title.
You know what? You
spicy.
Son of a beehive. All right. We'll take another break for some news and another hour here on The Drive. We'll be right back. What you gonna do when they come for you?
When you were eight and you had bad dreams? The big news from Subaru is the all-new 3-Row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has the interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The all-new 3-Row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we're in Las Vegas today at the Consumer Electronics Show, and there's a lot going on here. The automakers are, you know, they're here in major force. The Detroit Auto Show is supposed to be happening like next week, and for the auto world, that is the biggest. Well, I mean, it's Motor City, for goodness sake. That's like the biggest show, even though New York and Chicago and L.A. are also big, and Paris and all these other ones. But it's Detroit, for goodness sake. But it is going away. They're actually moving the date to June from January, where it has always been. Half of the automakers will not be there. Dan Sandberg, the president and CEO of Brembo Brakes.
That's applause, right?
The choice of champions.
The crowd.
But Dan.
Yes.
That's just weird, isn't it? I mean, this show has crushed that show.
I think this show has crushed that show. And I got to tell you, I think all of these auto shows have crushed the auto shows. All
right? Yeah, true.
They are
so... Well, the world is changing, too.
They are, and it's so expensive to do these shows. And you've gone year after year after year after year.
Oh, my God, 3 decades.
And it's become routine. And so you're coming out with a brand new car with great technology, with all this high-tech stuff. And you want to be in the same routine? I don't think you do. So you saw some of the automakers starting to move their products to different locations before the show, or they would do it off-site, or they would do all of these things that had nothing to do with the show. And after a while, they say, geez, why do we even have to be at the show?
Right. Well, and on top of that, I mean, come on. Detroit in January is not a place you're looking forward to going.
I am fully in favor of what they're doing.
And you live there.
I know. It is. Oh. I mean, I don't know how many 6 o'clock in the morning on Monday trying to find a parking space in the middle of the streets of Detroit in 7 inches of snow, 10 degrees below zero.
Wind blowing, yes,
and
sideways.
You didn't even give me a hug the last time we were there.
You know what? You know, I was hugging myself trying to stay warm because I, you know. But here's the deal. You are here. You're a brake manufacturer, not just any brake. I know, the best in the world. But what are you doing at the Consumer Electronics Show? Aren't brakes brakes? And you're going to say, no, Brembo are the best. I get all that. But what are you doing here?
Well, you know, we are trying to keep track of all of the technology that could be affecting our industry. So it starts with the OEs, as you were talking about.
Original equipment manufacturers.
Right. You like to say, every time I say OE, original
Well, because not everybody, that's industry speak. The average consumer may not understand OE.
If you're listening to The Drive.
The Drive, we teach you these things. But here's the point. Yeah. You are saying that as the automakers are shifting their consciousness to the technology side of the equation, which is also technology equals safety, technology equals convenience, technology equals so many other things, a car is not just a car anymore. It's not only a personal conveyance of who you are, it's also a way to be more efficient in your life, because when the self-driving car happens, you can work on your way to work, or you can, like one lady said yesterday, you can put your makeup on and finish getting ready because the car's driving itself.
Well, you know,
safely.
One of the best taglines that I've seen from the OEs, the original equipment manufacturers, is Nissan's line, where it says your best piece of technology is sitting in your driveway.
Right.
All right. And I think that's really what it's all about. And we come here to, first of all, see what they're doing. Really not what they're doing today, because we know what they're doing today.
Right.
We know what they're doing tomorrow, but you can get a glimpse of where they're going, you know, way out, 20 years from now, 15 years from now, maybe 10 years from now even in some cases.
Well, also, I think it's good for you to come here and interact with the technology companies, the Googles of the world, and the, you know, got all the, look at my Panasonics over there, and, you know, Robomart right behind us, which is, they have a looks like about a 20 by 20 foot black piece of carpet with some strange looking vehicle that has no windows. It looks like a little minivan. It's obviously some sort of, it's called Robomart. It's obvious, and I don't even know, I haven't gone down there yet. It's obviously some sort of delivery vehicle that will deliver packages autonomously, right? No driver, just the car pulls up, the thing pulls up out in front of you. You get a text, your package is here, a door opens or a window. I don't know where it comes from again. But technology, so that's a tech company that you may not even know. They're using somebody else's powertrain or God knows what. I'm happy that you're here because I know that tells me you guys are keeping your finger on the pulse of technology on top of everything else that you're having to think about as you're making those crazy, wacky things called brakes. Let me take a break. We'll talk to you more on the other side. This is called Maniac Mechanic from ZZ Top. Billy Gibbons, a car guy. This is The Drive from the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. We'll be right back.
If you insist, at that price I can't resist. That's right.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor, a show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions, and the man is sitting here, Dan Sandberg, the president and CEO. You got to know, it's, you know, for, you know, legal reasons, I got to tell you, he and I are pals. We have been for a long time. And
for legal reasons.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what they always say, right? Legal reasons. We're pals. Anyway, we do pal around at car shows and stuff, but you know what? But we're both car guys,
don't we?
Yeah, we do. I know.
Really tough life. One show to another show to another show.
Oh my God! So now,
I got any new shoes is what I need.
Yeah, no. You're supposed to, when you come to one of these things. By the way, you're supposed to bring two or three pairs of shoes.
Yes.
Because otherwise, your feet get sore in certain places, and every shoe. Anyway, it's a long story.
All right.
But the whole world with autonomous cars and, you know, electric cars, EVs. it's changed the world of braking a little bit, because then you also have, we've talked about this before, regenerative braking and all that that helps charge the battery. So you obviously
which
have
has nothing
to
do with brakes, you know that, right?
Well, no, it doesn't, but it's all part of the braking system, so it has to work in concert with
it. Does it's slow in the car, and you know, you see it. I mean, we were whose booth were we at yesterday? I think it was maybe Nissan or Honda.
Yeah.
And we were at one of the Asian OEs, and they were talking about the one pedal system. All right, and I said, well, how does it, the car's got two pedals. What do you mean one pedal system? And their marketing is one pedal, because when you're in the electric car and you got your pedal on the accelerator, right, you're going like gangbusters, like a golf cart, if you
will,
on steroids. But when you let off the brake, the regen kicks in. When you let off the gas. Did I say brake?
Yes, you did, because that's on your brain, I know.
But when you talk about...
You smell like brakes, by the way.
I do.
Burning brakes! Anyway, go.
I shower in brake fluid. A lot of people don't know that. But when you let your foot off the gas, you immediately feel the drag, the engine drag, if you will, which is that regenerative motor, which is recharging.
Feels like brakes.
Yes, and it is. It's braking the vehicle.
It is.
It's not just feeling like
it. No, it's slowing the vehicle down.
Correct.
Right? But it's doing a double job, which is putting electricity. It's using the kinetic energy, the movement of the car, to turn a generator, to generate power, to recharge the batteries. It's brilliant stuff. But then, doesn't it make your brakes last longer at the end of the day?
It does. It does. And in fact, you know, all of our customers have always said we would like a brake system that could last 100,000 miles. At least.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it.
Who doesn't?
And we are seeing it in some of the electric vehicles that we supply. So that's that's something that's coming out, and it's good. And you know what? You're not getting as much dust generated. You know, dust is a big issue now in the world of emissions.
Well, I thought you were saying the world of custom wheels. Another story.
That's always been the issue. But, you know, you don't use the brakes, you don't get the dust, and you don't get the pollution also that's out there in the system. So it's, it gives a benefit.
You know, and when I made a joke one time. I was in New York City, and they go, "Don't you love New York?" I said, "I really do, except I don't love the human dander. Human dust is really disgusting, but that's another story for another day." Anyway, have you seen anything cool that is like you're taking it home to tell your engineers, dudes, we have got to keep up with this company, Byton. Have you seen Byton?
Yes.
Byton electric vehicle?
Yeah. I like the name of the cars, too.
Byton.
K-Byte.
Yeah.
Kilobyte and M-Byte.
Yeah.
You know, it's very creative.
Hey, and did you see the dashboard in that thing, by the way?
Yeah.
48 inches of screen by about 12 inches. It's like 8 iPads if you connected 8 iPads
But
together.
I like that so much better than the... What looks like somebody took an iPad and attached it to the front of the car.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, everything has its evolution, right?
You know.
And then I think, you know, what is there? There's a couple other electric cars. You got this thing behind us that is, you know, obviously a concept thing, but our world is changing. Drones are going to be dropping crap out of the sky in your backyard. You know, from
it's a great study. In my opinion, it's a great study in what we do, and the other side of the business that we never talk about is the manufacturing side of the business. And that's another reason why we're here. We'll talk about that in a second.
Well,
but
I'm looking behind us over here.
Yep.
You see that machine that's going back and forth and back and forth, and it's making something. And there's a machine next to it that is playing ping pong with people.
Yeah, did that you was play here last year. I actually got a couple rounds in with that.
It's amazing,
machine.
Isn't it?
It's really cool.
It's fantastic what they're able to do. The problem, people, is... You folks that are the workaday Joe and Sally, you better start looking into the world of electronic things, because they're going to be replacing you, so you better start learning how to service those things.
Well, I think you need to take a workforce that we have, and you need to have those people become not loaders and unloaders. You know, I've been saying that for years. We don't need loaders and unloaders. We need guys who are going to take care of those machines. We need guys who are going to do what I call value add. When it comes to the manufacturing process. And that's what you really need to do. And you know what? A lot more fun when you're dealing with big data and things like that, rather than just putting a part on a line, taking it off, putting a part on a line, taking it off.
I think it's all about Soylent Green. I think that sooner or later, we will all be converted into food. And so they're fattening us up. You know, that's why America's so fat. We are all Soylent Green. They want fat. We're like the fattened cow. Right?
You're dating yourself. You know that, don't you?
I know I am. We'll take a little break. I want to hear from you about all the rest of the cool stuff you saw here. We'll be right back.
I'm ready for you.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses.
That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. You know, I gotta brag about my sponsors. They're good. 84 months of record sales at Subaru. Why? Because you love them. They're good vehicles, that's why. Brembo Brakes, cool president, vehicle. CEO. I said vehicle because you interrupted my CEO and vehicle went together and was vehicle.
I'll take
Sandberg.
It. Whatever you can give me, I'll take it.
They're not editing that out. This is live to radio. This is all there is to it. There's nothing we can fix. Mm-mm. Dan, so we talked about Dan Sandberg. He's the CEO of Brembo Brakes, biggest brake company that makes good brakes out there. There's a lot of crap brakes out there, but these guys make the good stuff. What did you see here that was like, I got to have one of those? Well, I know the ping pong machine was pretty cool, but that's not going
to
happen.
I'll be more corporate first, all right? So we come here also not only to look at customers and products and what they're doing and some of our competitors and where they're going, although we didn't see much here in the world of brakes on the electronic side. But we come here to take care of the manufacturing side of the business. So big data, you hear that all the time.
Yeah, you know, tell the world about big data, just for those who...
Well, in a simple form, the ability to collect data now using, I think last year was the year of the sensor, they called it, you know? So you have the ability now to buy very, very inexpensive sensors that can track anything, even from human beings. We're all wearing Fitbits and walking around and collecting a ton of data on how many calories we eat and everything else. So the ability to collect the data, that's process number one, the inputs, has gotten infinitesimally higher. So you can collect...
You didn't say that word right. Try it again. Give it another one. Go ahead.
Infinitesimally?
Infinitesimally?
Oh, stop. Anyway, it's gotten really big. So you can collect...
That's how I would say it. It got really big.
Yeah, so you can collect an S-load of data.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. See, you're learning.
There you go. So you can collect a lot of data now and then process that data and then look at those trends. And that's what big data is all about, is taking all this data, which may or may not be significant in its very narrow form, but when you collect a ton of it, you now can put it into artificial intelligence, the Watsons of the world, if you will.
Right.
And you can now predict what's going to happen, and you can also take a look at your processes and see if you can take out waste, which is really what it's all about. And, when you look at some of these cars that you were talking about, these trucks that are taxis during the day and then deliver packages in between the deliveries of people, it's really amazing. And that's really lean manufacturing in its pure state, you know, its consumer state, if you will. So we're looking at all this technology. So back to what I saw. I saw some really neat stuff in the sensor area, all right? So tiny little sensors, inexpensive. And I mean inexpensive. We're talking under $100 to do a whole bunch of stuff. So from heat to collection
of data. Which probably cost $500 million to develop over years, right?
No, they were like, you know, it used to be when we needed to get a heat sensor, for example, it was $1,500 for a machine.
You mean to get the sensor?
Just a little sensor. Yeah, just the sensor, $1,500.
Right.
You know, now you can buy them for $10. And if you buy 100 of them, you can get them for 5 cents.
So this example, look at your camera on your phone these days. Almost put these camera companies out of business. Little itty-bitty camera that's like as big as a booger.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you're throwing your camera away. What do you got there? Is that a booger? No, it's my camera.
That's the amazing thing. So the other thing I saw is flexible screens. There's a lot of flexible screens here. So picture
bendable. Yeah.
So I think we saw over in the LG booth, they had what looked like a cabinet that you'd put in your living room, just 2 feet off the ground, which used to have the TV on it. Now it doesn't have the TV on it. What you do is you press a button and the TV rises out of the center of the cabinet.
Does it roll up inside of it?
Rolls up inside the cabinet. But this is like, I don't know if it was 8K or not, but it was high, high resolution.
Right.
This is not junk that they're folding up. We also saw tablets that fold in half. So, you fold the tablet in half. It's, about the size of, let's say, a big iPad.
Right.
You fold it in half and it's an iPhone. You want to do computer work, you unfold it, and it's a full screen. I mean, just some amazing stuff.
Listen, we have barely even scratched the surface, and the folks that are at home don't get to see what we're seeing here. And you and I have watched this evolve because I, you know, you and I come to this every year together. This is amazing what we're seeing here. You guys at home probably won't see 85, 90% of it for another couple of years in the stores, but we're seeing it here. We're seeing the future here today, right?
To me, it's what we always talk about, the old adage, get out of the box. You know what I mean?
Right. You got
to,
yeah,
you know, definitely. And to me, this is get out of straight lines, get out of boxes, get
otherwise,
out of structure.
You're going to be thrown in the ground in your box and buried.
It's unimaginable what we're seeing, and this stuff is ready for prime time now.
Yeah, no question.
It's not, this is not just imaginary.
You're talking about big data. If you look a little bit deeper into what's going on here, Big Brother, they are watching you while you're here. They are watching you and gathering what you are looking at while you are here. And they're watching your eyes and seeing how long you're focusing on a certain product and how long did you stay at that booth. And that is the big data you're talking about.
Yep.
They are gathering data. Data is big money. Not just big data, big money. Right?
It is. It is. And I think,
it's happening everywhere.
It's happening everywhere. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of privacy concerns about that. But there are some issues in privacy. Don't get me wrong. But who doesn't want to have things that they're interested in directed toward them rather than having to sift through thousands of spam, if you will?
Look, I agree. I also agree with the people that are disconnecting and going, I don't want to share my DNA through, you know, whatever those, you know, you send your DNA in and God knows what, you know. I mean, there's the other ones. You send your poop in and they tell you about how healthy you are. That's also DNA. Watch out what you do when you're sharing your information. Yes. So speaking about sharing poop, there'll be more of that on the other side of this break. Thank you, Dan Sandberg.
I knew we wouldn't get through an interview without talking about that.
I am a scatological man. We'll grab it. My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com, and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Welcome back to the Consumer Electronics Show 2019 in Las Vegas. I'm Alan Taylor. Joining us right now from the National Inventors Hall of Fame is Hannah Paulin and Vince Krasanik. And you guys have a very interesting Mustang that you've been running around. I call it the 50-50 Mustang because it's half of a 2015 Mustang and the other half is a 1965 Mustang, which is the 50 years of innovation. Hannah, how about you? What do you got going on with this Mustang? Tell us the story.
So this innovation started for us a number of years ago in partnership with Ford Motor Company. They've been a partner with the National Inventors Hall of Fame for our education program supporting kids, and really said that they saw the National Inventors Hall of Fame Museum, which is at the United States Patent and Trademark Office headquarters in Alexandria, Virginia, as being a great opportunity to showcase this 50 years of innovation through a very cool, interactive, one-of-a-kind Mustang exhibit.
And this Mustang, I said it right, it's like half of one and half of another, front to back, split right down the middle, but it's not drivable, is it, Vince?
Right, it's not drivable.
It looks kind of like it is.
It's cut off right behind the front seats, so it actually doesn't have the back end.
Oh.
So very not very drivable.
Okay, so, and then the idea is to be able to have somebody sit in the driver's seat of each car and kind of look at how much innovation over these 50 years, how much things have changed.
Absolutely. The concept and the creative process, we had sort of gone through a number of iterations just like invention does. And what we came up with was we said we could split the cars right down the middle. you'd have half a shifter and half a shifter, and you wouldn't really get the benefit of the whole console.
There
But in the creative iterative process, we were able to say, hey, let's do like 60% of the car. So when you sit down on the 65 side, you have the full middle console that you would experience in a 65.
Okay.
Bluetooth works on the 15 side. The lights work on the left-hand side. It's a lot of fun for the visitor.
So when you talk about, you know, inventing and what have you, where was this, you know, where was this born? What was the reason for what you wanted to do here? Because you're an invention company, Hannah.
That's correct. We're the largest nonprofit in the country.
Oh, it's a nonprofit.
We're
okay,
a nonprofit,
good.
Yep, celebrating and inspiring innovation in America. So our charter, our noble mission, is to really help audiences from kids through adults to understand what patents and trademarks are all about, how this helps to progress the useful arts, and to really show, in this case, in a very tangible way, allowing someone to get into a vehicle and see that 50 years of, like, what's really changed over these 50 years and how have patents and trademarks contributed to that change and allowed this progress to evolve.
You know, it's so important. I had to go through a little battle over intellectual property and trademark. And I think people forget the importance of trademarks and patents and doing these things because we're so busy having fun following our passion. Even Tesla, the name Tesla, you know, I mean, it's like if you look at all the history, it's fights over who invented what first, right?
Right.
And so this is something I have to assume you guys are trying to get people to become aware over, that it's important to do it from the genesis. When you get the idea, if you think you're going to push forward with it, go down and get a trademark on your idea somehow, or your logo or whatever, wherever you start. Maybe you could talk about that. Where does it start for people?
One of the other things that we spoke a little bit about, it, the National Inventors Hall of Fame exists to celebrate innovation and invention. And as such, as the name Hall of Fame says, we induct inductees every year, and we're here at CES.
To give me an award!
Well,
thank you!
If you could make it... Oh, no, I'm kidding. But at 1 o'clock today, we're actually announcing the 2019 inductees. Mm. So there's a good handful of folks who are going to be honored and get their
for
place
where,
in the hall.
For where this is going to be heard for many years, I'm sure, into the future, where can people find this on the web so they can see more about it?
They can go to invent.org. That's our National Inventors Hall of Fame website.
Okay. Okay.
And there's a section that talks specifically about our museum. As I mentioned, it's in Alexandria, Virginia. It's free and open to the public. And we rotate exhibits through on a regular basis. So we have, as a nonprofit, a number of corporate partners that will come in and do hands-on interactive exhibits, to your point, to help showcase what patents really are, why this intellectual property is important, and give kids and adults a way to interact with them. So we have a current partnership with Qualcomm, with SMT. We've had exhibits with E-Ink and others in the past. So just a good opportunity to really put something very tangible and fun in that space.
Invent.org, if you have an idea, if you think you should have been the one that got the patent for toilet paper, well, too bad you didn't go down and get your patent. All right, guys, thank you very much. And I want to go over and check out that 50-50 Mustang. 50 years of innovation, the National Inventors Hall of Fame. Hannah and Vince, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, more from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas after this. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
I always think to myself, what is an expert anymore? I don't know that there's anybody that's an expert unless you're in one thing. And in the automotive world, there ain't no one thing anymore. There's everything, because it is the collective soul of everything that is happening in our world. Consumer electronics and what we used to call a car have converged upon each other. Pretty soon you're going to have fully autonomous vehicles driving themselves. That's just around the corner. You're going to have flying freaking cars. So how could you be an expert in any of that? So really what it boils down to is get product experts. That's what my job is. And Dave Butchko happens to be one of those guys. Many, many years we've been working together. He spent a long, illustrious career with BMW. Congratulations for all that, Dave.
Thank you very much.
And now I thought you were going to go off and go sailing and, you know, feet on the beach, and I was going to see him with a little martini in his hand at night. Nope, he's back to work. But a brand new interesting company, which, again, is to that thing I said, an expert. That expert thing keeps going out the window every time I turn around, because here's a brand new car company of which I know very little of, Byton, B-Y-T-O-N, Byton, Byton, however you want to say it. You're the product communications manager.
Right.
So you're as much of an expert about this company as probably anybody. Tell the world.
Well, I wouldn't say that yet, because it's early days.
Pretty new. But yeah,
it's all pretty new. But
you're learning fast,
learning
I'll
fast.
Tell you.
It's, yeah. It's,
so
it's
you guys showed a couple of cars here. Well, you showed one last year.
We first showed our first car in concept form, obviously, a year ago, and we're back here with a second concept. But the big news for us here at CES in 2019 is that we showed something very close to what the production interior will look like.
Ah.
So we're
which
moving.
With a 48-inch
screen for the dash. Yeah.
Which I think is very bold, but cool as hell. What is that, like 8 iPads side by side?
Yeah, something like that. 7 or 8 iPads.
Yeah right?
Yeah. But, yeah. And obviously, that's gotten a lot of attention and has generated a fair bit of controversy. But
why, though? Well, of course, everything brings controversy.
Well, because you look at it and you go, oh, my gosh, it's going to be so distracting. Well, and I think a lot of people have the idea that it's a touch screen and it's not. It's like, you know, it's like you don't operate your television as a touch screen device, right? It's far enough away from the driver, and it's low enough down. People say, well, isn't that going to be distracting? Well, it's not in your line of sight. But what's cool is the approach that the company's taken to what we now call as the user interface.
Yes.
In that we've got 2 touch screens in the car. One's actually mounted in the center of the steering wheel. And then there's a second one sort of mounted, in automotive terms, is the center stack in the center of the, the console.
Dash,
you know, right, exactly. And that one, and so the one in the steering wheel is your primary interface for the driver to do stuff. And, people talk about, the learning curve and all that. Well, it's designed in terms of the way, we touch, like our smartphones and tablets and such, the way we operate those with, pinch gestures and
right, that's the one
swipe.
On the steering wheel?
Yeah.
So the one on the steering wheel, like what we would call the, what used to be where you'd push the horn.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Now is now got this central control, right, with the touch screen stuff on it.
Yeah.
Another one down in that center stack area.
Right, which is meant for the passenger. So the driver's not meant to reach for that one.
Right.
Because everything the driver would need to do, they can do
within that horn button, you might say.
Yeah. And our head of design, who one of the fun things about this company is there's a lot of us BMW alumni, if you will.
Right.
Our co-founders are both ex-BMW guys.
Are they really?
Yeah, they are, yeah. Karsten Breitfeld, who was the project leader of the BMW i8. So he brought the BMW i8
from conception all the way through to production. Nice.
Right. And our president is Daniel Kirschert, another ex-BMW guy. Mm. Our head of design is a gentleman named Benoit Jacob, who was the head of BMW i design, so oversaw the design of the i3 and the BMW i8.
Wow.
And our design center is actually based in Munich. So that's and that's one of the things. Yeah, our company's based in China, but the design center's in Munich. All the R&D work is being done in Silicon Valley. And what's cool is, because it's such a new company, they very deliberately sort of looked at who were expert in what. We've got a lot of car guys and a lot of vehicle engineers, our chief vehicle engineer, and that working on a lot of the driver dynamics and that kind of thing.
So, by the way, we should say this is an electric vehicle.
It's an electric vehicle, right.
Like Tesla.
Right.
So this is going to be a big competitor for Tesla.
Well, we think so. We hope so. Yeah. So it's all electric. You get 2 configurations. You can get it with 1 electric motor in the back driving, so it's rear wheel drive, and the battery pack for that would be good for about 250 miles of range. But then the upgrade option is a larger battery capacity battery pack, and a second electric motor up front, which then makes it all-wheel drive and gives you range of about 325 miles.
Right. So here we have kind of the collective soul of all good things in the auto industry from the Ultimate Driving Machine alumni, we'll call it.
Right. But yes.
I like this.
Oh, no, it's great. But what the company did, which I think is smart, but then I work for them, is that all of the user interface guys were not automotive guys. They came out of the tech world and Apple and Google and all.
That's what I mean. It's a collective soul, okay? Because you guys, when you were at BMW, were already dealing with all those guys. Right. I remember when the iDrive came out back in, gosh, I don't know, what is that?
Yeah, 2001, yeah.
Was it that long ago?
It was a long ago, nearly 20 years ago,
Where's time gone, Dave? You and I used to have dark hair. We're both like white-haired men now. Anyway, it's just so funny. But now you, all these years, so it's all the gathering of the knowledge and wisdom of watching these great car companies that we know, that now these guys, like, we'll call him Elon Musk for the guy that pioneered that.
Right.
We even learned from his mistakes, right? And we can do that now and start with Byton, you call it.
Right.
I call it Byton. You guys need to all check this out. BYTON.com.
Sure, you can check them. Yeah, Byton.com. Byton. Yeah, absolutely. You can go online. You can even reserve your...
And
configure and reserve a car.
And the price.
Yeah, the price.
You, I can't believe they know they actually announced a rough price of about $45,000.
$45,000, yep.
Which, you know, I mean, this car could have easily been a lot more because of, you know, I mean, well, when you go see it on their website, you'll understand.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful machine, I must say.
Well, and
A couple of them, actually, the concept and the second one.
And the approach that the company's taking is a little bit different. In this day and age, it's designed to be a seamless, integral part of your digital life. There are people out there for whom, in a car, that's not going to be terribly appealing, but you and I know that your kids, my kids, and people who are, you know, sort of between our kids'
age... Our kids actually took a driving school
together. They did indeed. You know, for them... They absolutely would want their car to be part of their digital life because, let's face it, they don't want any part of their life to not be...
They don't want any part of our lives.
No, no, but they don't want any part of... You know, but let's face it, their lives are very digitally focused.
Totally.
Start to finish. And they don't want to suspend that just because they happen to be in the car.
Right. Now, right. So I am a totally analog. I'm a analog gearhead. My son is a digital tech head.
Right.
And that's the way it is. So the cars have to evolve to that level because when he gets the job, it looks like he just got... He's going to want to afford a car that is his lifestyle.
Sure, that reflects that.
A car is a personal conveyance of who you are.
Right.
And if he's not a gearhead like I am, he's going to want this kind of a car. By the way, beautifully done. Beautifully done.
Thank you.
I'm looking at your business card.
Yeah.
I love the colors. There's a lot of thought. Everything went into everything you guys have done there.
Right. Well, and
meet those two co-founders, by the way.
Oh, we can absolutely make that happen. And, you know, we're moving so fast. I mean, we will launch... Later this year, 2019, first in China, but by that point it will have been 39 months from when the company was founded.
Crazy fast.
So you talk about experts. So you know, out in the world, if we found people who are good at certain things, we tap into it. So the electric motors come from Bosch. They know how to do
alliances. These alliances are invaluable in the speed of doing what you're doing.
You know, our voice control, we're working with Amazon Alexa.
Of course.
Because they do it really well, right?
I suggest each and every one of you that are interested in the new Byton that has been shown to the world, a second car here at the Consumer Electronics Show, BYTON.com. Dave Butchko, thank you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Alan.
You did a good job of conveying this brand new machine that is... just being born to the world.
Watch this space. It's going to be exciting.
It's going to be awesome. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. More from the Consumer Electronics Show.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning. Stylish. Sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know what? It's been a really, really fun time being at CES 2019. The problem is, I was stuck at the booth. And then I didn't get to see as much as I would have liked to have. So, of course, BJ Killeen, automotive expert, You got to run around and see things that I didn't get to see and go places I didn't get to go. And maybe you could give us, a little bit of a whirlwind tour of what you saw.
I can do that for you, Alan. Well, I mean, it was great. And it is tough being stuck at the booth because you're right. You don't get to go out and see things.
Know.
But there were so many things, you know, it's amazing. Mercedes-Benz actually introduced the CLA Coupe there instead of doing it at the Detroit Auto Show, which I thought was absolutely fascinating to show you how important CES is becoming. So
right. They
introduced it. It had a new MB user experience interior assistant that you can do gesture recognition and augmented reality for navigation. So I think that's part of the reason why it was CES. But it's a much better looking vehicle all the way around. It's longer, wider, lower. Where have we heard that before?
Right.
But a couple things you can do. One in there, you can go, hey, Mercedes, and it'll talk to you just like you can say, hey, Google or Siri
right. Or
something like that.
Right.
That is kind of cool. Toyota briefly introduced technology they called blended envelope control, and this is under their Guardian name, where it combines the skills and strength of the human and the machine. So it's not just only the machine. It's not just only the human. It's a little bit about both of them working together. So I thought that was kind of
a human-machine interface.
That's exactly what it is. Audi had a huge booth, and I'm sorry you didn't get to see that, but it was ginormous. They had all kinds of vehicles. And one of them, my favorite, which I didn't get into because the line was too long, but called the Audi Experience Ride. And this is where in an actual car called the Icon, AICON, it's a 2+2-seater with full electric drive, you can get in the car and you can put on VR glasses. And as the car drives, that's what the VR system does. So let's say the car turns right, the VR in your headset will actually move to the right. Or if the car takes off and goes fast, what's going on in the VR system will go just as fast, like you're on a roller coaster or something
that. I think I'd puke if I had that thing on.
Yeah, that's another reason why I wasn't sure I wanted to get in there. But so that was absolutely fascinating. Audi is just, on top of things when they come into immersive in-car entertainment, because you got to figure, we're not going to be driving. What are we going to be doing in the vehicles? Don't answer that. Okay.
Right.
So, which is probably what most people will be doing.
You know what? It's going to give a whole new meaning if this van's a rockin', don't come a knocking.
No kidding.
Right?
Huh? Yeah. Vans are going to suddenly get very popular, aren't they?
All tinted out windows.
That's right.
No windows, just air vents.
I don't want to know.
Oh, my
All
God.
Right. Hyundai had something called a walking car concept, and it's called Elevate. And this, to me, was one of the coolest things. Now, they didn't actually have it there because it's a working prototype right now, so they had a video showing it walking. But it's pretty cool because it has robotic legs with 5 degrees of freedom. So it can walk in like a mammalian style, like a mammal, or walk like a reptile. It's capable of climbing a 5-foot vertical wall. It could step over a 5-foot gap. And it can change the top of it. It's got a modular electric vehicle platform on the bottom, but you can switch out the top. So let's say there was a big disaster, all right? There was an earthquake or there was a major flood or anything, a hurricane. It can actually work as an ambulance, but walk over things and crawl and climb over things to get to people who are like stuck on their roof or something like that. So
bizarre.
Absolutely, absolutely amazing. And then you were with me at Harman when we went over to the Harman display. You got to do that ahead of time, but that was really cool too. I mean, some of the things they had that get that QLED mood roof, it's like a moon roof, but you don't really want to see the moon. So you can see like visual landscapes. You can see the desert. You could have it like an aquarium up there as a part of a video setup. So that's really kind of cool too. And we tried out the in-car communication where you can actually hear through speakers when the driver's talking to you without having to yell at
noise canceling. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. And then the clear chat feature was one of my favorites too, where if I'm on the phone with you and I'm in the back seat and the kids are screaming and somebody's playing music, it blocks out all that external noise so the person on the other end of the phone call can actually hear the phone conversation.
My dad did that with his fist.
Yeah, that's how we used to handle it, with a smack to the back of the head, wasn't it? Shut up, I'm talking. But the coolest thing there, did you get a chance to see the Bell Nexus helicopter of the future?
I did. That is awesome.
It's kind of like an Osprey with a tilt rotor. It's at 6 articulating ducted fans, 150 mile an hour, top speed, 150 mile range, a hybrid electric design. But don't look for it in the sky yet. It's not going to be out until 2025. So.
It'll be a taxi drone that looks just like a Bell helicopter, only better looking. I think that had to be the pick of the show as the coolest. Cooler than dang it. All right, BJ. BJ Colleen, thank you.
Thanks.
Man, that was a whirlwind. Great job. I'm Alan Taylor. She's BJ Colleen. Dave McMillan's been producing the show for a while. Our team at ERN rocks. We'll see you guys next week right here on The Drive.
The big news from Subaru is the all-new three-row Ascent. It's the biggest SUV from Subaru ever. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second-row captain's chairs or bench seating. It'll tow up to 5,000 pounds. It has the interior space you need for your whole crew. And it gets you where you want to go with the safety of a Subaru, including standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. The all-new three-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Maximum towing capacity varies by trim level, and trailer brakes may be required. See your retailer for details.